claim responsibility for the content of this show. I do every week. Hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's a pretty day out there. Kind of chilly. Makes you want to get up and get moving. So for those of you sitting on the couch, thanks for tuning in. If you're riding in your car, same thing for you. Appreciate you listening today. It's going to be a full one. Got about 3 minutes left in this segment. And then we're going to talk about the fly fishing show that's coming to Atlanta, Georgia next weekend. Then we're going to talk to Mary Roberts with from SeaWee about the upcoming Southeastern Wildlife Expo. And I might have a few minutes at the end of the show to talk about what I want to talk about. No, I've got to give a shout out to all the kids participating in the Bullseye tournament down at Pendleton High School today. It's a National Archery and School tournament. Just a fun one. There are a lot more of these going on every year. I know the Hurricanes, which is who my daughter shoots for. I think this is their second or third, maybe fourth one of the year already. And we haven't even gotten to, you know, the state NASP competitions with regionals and state. And of course, from there, it goes to national world. So anyway, love to see those kids getting out there. And especially when you read news like, you know, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey is closing up after 146 years, granted, because of the, you know, PETA and the elephants. But one of the reasons they list is short attention spans for audiences. You know, last year I did maybe it was 15. I don't know. These things run together after a while. There was a story out there that the average person has an attention span of 8 seconds, which is 1 second less than your average ordinary goldfish. And so when you, in like the high school bass class that we had in Anderson, 2 weeks ago, kids that are involved in these outdoor activities, and it might not be archery or fishing, it could be hiking, whatever, there's a difference. You know, they can put those phones down and off the computers and concentrate on a goal in front of them, which is to shoot well or to fish well or something. And I tell you, after the high school bass class, hearing all those kids say yes sir and no sir, and we appreciate the pros coming and we appreciate you putting it on, it's refreshing. So I had to say that to get out of trouble with my daughter, because I'm not actually there today. So maybe, and she's not even listening, so she wouldn't even know. I just told her I would. I've been getting pounded about all the stuff coming out of Washington. Look, he's just doing what he said he was going to do. The sky's not falling. Every president comes in and does their thing. And yeah, there's some concern about clean water and selling off public lands. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, you know, okay, right now, if you're out there in Greenville and you want something to do, go to the boat show. Casey Ashley is there till 9 o'clock tonight. He'll be there 12 to 6 tomorrow. Go look at a new boat and make your own plans to get out on the water this summer, whether it's fishing or skiing or whatever, just spending time outdoors. But we're going to talk about maybe a little politics, maybe not. Depends on what we get to. But like I said, it's going to be a full one. There's the music already. So hang on through the break. We'll be back on the other side, talk about the fly fishing film show, the fly fishing show coming to Atlanta, the Infinite Energy Center. See you on the other side. South Carolina. If you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know that I love to fly fish. I don't get to do it near as much as I want to, but when I get a chance, and it really doesn't matter if I catch anything. It's something about being on the river, sound of the water, whether it's fresh or salt, either one. And if you're listening today, then you got a rare opportunity, because the fly fishing show is coming to Atlanta. And with me today is Ben Fremsky. He's the present CEO of the Fly Fishing Show. Ben, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Tell us, just take a second and introduce yourself and some of the background behind the Fly Fishing Show.
Well, as you said, I'm the president and CEO of the Fly Fishing Show. We produce the largest consumer fly fishing events in the country, actually the world, and we have 7 nationwide events that we do. We start in Denver, Colorado, and then we move to Marlborough, Massachusetts, which we just wrapped up last weekend. This weekend we had Somerset, New Jersey, which is the largest one in the world.
Okay.
That's one we're quite known for. And right after that, we're heading to Atlanta, Georgia for the first time.
Yeah, that's February 3rd and 4th at the Infinite Energy Center. Oops, got to get that out of my mouth. and this is your first time in Atlanta. And we were talking earlier that you said the ones before have been great. What kind of turnout do you expect for Atlanta? Because it's a big market.
Well, we've got great exhibitor turnout already. Manufacturers have been in a huge support of the show, which is sometimes one of our greatest challenges. And now we've rallied up some of the local fly fishing shops, and they're on board and really supportive. So it's spreading the word to the customers now, and we're hoping to have, personally, I'm hoping to have between 5,000 and 6,000 people. But we'll look to grow. One thing with our show to note to your customers and your fans is that our show isn't like a lot of other local fly fishing events that you might attend and be able to go and see for a couple of hours and pretty much get everything done.
Okay.
It takes the whole weekend to see our event.
I was afraid you were going to say that. there is a lot.
It's great to come over for a couple hours. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
You get a taste of it. But what I expect to see is a lot of folks, and we get this at all of our shows, a lot of folks for the first time that might attend will come over for a couple of hours. It blows their mind, and they say, I'm coming for the whole weekend next year and make a whole weekend event of it.
Well, I tell you, from the press release that I got from Bennett, I can see why you wouldn't be able to come and just get it in a couple of hours. You know, it's show hours are Friday 9 to 6 and 9 to 5:30 on Saturday. Start off, you got $60,000 worth of door prizes. That ought to be in itself a reason for anybody to go at least for a couple of hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got a ton of great door prizes. No strings attached to anything. It's we're talking about the trips that we're giving away to South America, Mexico, Alaska, Labrador, Belize, Nevada, Yellowstone, Iceland. as well as products and a number of other credits and trips that are all over the globe, all fly fishing oriented trips.
Both salt and freshwater, which is, you know, in Atlanta, you're almost like you're here in Greenville. You're a few hours from the coast, or you're even right there in the Chattahoochee in Atlanta, or just north in the Georgia mountains. You're real close to both sides, so you're going to draw from the freshwater guys and the saltwater guys for this thing.
Yeah, we're hoping to. That's one of the things that I'm personally very excited about. I love to fish for all different types of fish, and I like to see a good variety at the show myself, and we try to balance our exhibitors. Everybody has to go through an application process, so we have a high-quality show for the customers and a diverse show.
You got some big names going to be there, too. I mean, legends in the fly fishing industry, you know, Lefty Craig, Gary Borger, Bob Clouser. I met Bob Clouser. He was here in South Carolina last year, and just talking to him on the phone, because we did an interview here for the show, and then I went down and saw him at the Shallow Water Expo in Charleston. What a great guy. Never talked to him before in my life, and I felt like I've known him my whole life, and he goes, let's go fishing sometime, you know? Those type personalities they're priceless.
And those are, most of those well-known celebrity fly fishermen are those types of personalities. That's another reason that people often start to make a weekend for it. You mentioned Bob Clouser, and I had a customer just tell me he went through the same scenario 2 years ago. He came to our Somerset show for a few hours, and he said, oh, man, I've got to come for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And the next weekend he came for the whole weekend with a few buddies, and I ran into him last year, and he was all excited because he was telling me that, you know, he was just staying at the hotel, the host hotel that we have, and he was at the bar hanging out with people, and then he realized he was sitting next to Bob Clouser, and he was just thrilled. So some guys hang out for the weekend just to mingle with the icons of the sport.
Yeah, and those guys are not there just as hood ornaments, so to speak. They're actually going to be, you know, you can get a class with fly tying, casting. Take us through a little bit of what people are going to be involved, be able to be involved in on a one-on-one or in a group setting with these guys.
Well, you know, many of the celebrities that you're talking about will also be hanging out at some of the manufacturer booths who they represent, so you can just mingle with them there. They'll be doing demonstrations that could be fly tying, casting, seminars, stuff that whatever might be their specialty or all of the above. We also have small individual classes that happen in the morning and the afternoon, limited attendance classes that you can get some one-on-one instruction for 2.5 hours with some of these celebrities, as well as if they're an author, which most of those guys are, you can talk with them at our author's booth where they just hang out to talk with you. So they're pretty accessible before and after their seminars and just mingling around. They like to meet the customers.
Bob was telling me a story last year. He said he was at a show somewhere and he was tying the Clouser minnow and had a guy watching him, and the guy came up afterwards and says, "You were tying that minnow all wrong." Not realizing who he was talking to. So if you go and hang out with these guys, just, you know who you're in the company of so you don't make a mistake like that one.
Well, I can tell you that that's a very interesting thing to hear with Bob Clouser, because, you know, as simple as his Clouser minnow is, which is one of the flies you may see him tie, but this year he's focusing on a new style of bendback streamers designed for fishing streamers with light lines. Bigger flies with light lines is the design on it.
Okay.
And but he... Most Clouser minnows are tied completely wrong. They're successful and they still fish well, but if you see the way he ties them, it's quite different than the way most people tie. And if you adjust and make those flies the way he ties them, he's a designer, and that's what made him so famous, and they're going to be better. And there's been a lot of discussion in the fly tying world related to this, which is that a lot of people think, well, I can just go to YouTube and see some fly tying videos and get to see it. But what you can't get out of that is you can't ask questions, and you can't say, well, can I substitute this material, or even on the personal level, you can't make friends or meet the guys that designed it. And there's a lot of factors in it. I've designed a number of flies over the years, and there are very, very specific reasons why I may choose a material, and I've seen people make substitutes, and it's just not going to work the same. So if you want the fly to perform the way it was designed, a lot of times just talking with that designer is a big difference rather than just following a recipe.
Yeah, YouTube is the cure for some things, but when it gets to doing things exactly right, it's better to go to the source.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you can find some recipes and things like that, but a recipe isn't always going to tell you how to present the fly on top of it and how to make adjustments for particular situations.
What are some of the flies you've designed while we're on the subject?
Oh, one of my most well-known flies is called the BDE. It's a mayfly pattern, a generic mayfly pattern. I have some green drake pattern, some caddis flies, a number of flies that have been commercially produced by a number of different manufacturers.
Very nice. I tried to tie flies at one time. I think I was like 12. That's the wrong time to try to start learning how to tie flies.
Yeah, well, we have free tying lessons going on all show long, as well as free casting lessons in our learning center sponsored by the IFFF.
Yeah, saw that.
You know, we've got demonstrations, continuous demonstrations on fly tying going the whole time. We've got a minimum of, 8 different seminars going on every hour.
Okay.
There's featured fly tiers where you see some of the bigger names in fly tying. We have casting demos going on all weekend long with 2 separate casting ponds. So that you can see that's why just coming for a few hours is not going to get it. Even coming for the whole weekend, if there's eight seminars or eight presentations going on at any given time in the seminar rooms, and there's two at the same time that you want to see, some of them will repeat on the next day. And if you come the next day, you can catch them, but some won't. So you just really can't even capture it all in a weekend.
Now, when you say two fly casting pools, are those similar to what you'll see at IFTD in Orlando?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, shallow yeah. water pool, just basically so with some of the casts that required the surface tension of the water, you can still make that cast.
Right. And let me tell you, there is nothing like seeing one of these guys throwing a fly line. It's makes me look like I'm fighting with a bear or something when I'm trying to fly fish. But these guys are just so effortless and lay the line out there, and it always unrolls just perfectly, and makes me really jealous.
It's an art form.
It is.
It is an art form.
And one of the great things, and if you like videos we can talk about the fly fishing film tour that's going to be there. But you've also got the Destination Theater, which is going to have programs running too. Tell us a little bit about that feature of the fly fishing show.
Well, Destination Theater, there are some things that are techniques or education based, such as entomology classes, and how to fish certain techniques, maybe tenkara or soft tackles and spiders, for example. But also, some of the theaters in the Destination Theater are set to educate you on local, regional, or national locations. So if you always were curious about fishing in Iceland, for example, you could go see a seminar on fly fishing in Iceland and see whether it's something that you actually, really want to do. Or if you want to go see something on some of your local waters to get a little freshen up, or to find out if there's some secret information that you never knew about, whether it be the time of year that maybe you struggle with, or the time of day, or you just wanted to learn a little more about some of your local stuff, we'll have a ton of talks on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Patagonia, Southern Tailwaters, the Bighorn River, Tarpon Redfish, Utah, Great Smoky Mountains National Park, I see is on here too. That's a big one. There's a lot of water up there to fish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be when you have something like that, it'll be a bit of a general overview. They'll talk about a number of the waters that you can access, some of the regulations, some of the seasons, the flies. And a lot of times they'll touch on other things besides fly fishing in a region, things that you can do if you have a friend or a spouse that doesn't fly fish. So if you're traveling to go fish somewhere like Belize, what can they do?
I got
you. And I'll talk about that a bit. Of course, they're always open for questions and answers, and many of the people presenting in the Destination Theater are located at one of the booths within the show. So after you see the talk, if you have more questions, you can meet them at their booth. They can give you further information on the destination.
And finally, finish up, one of the highlights of the year is the fly fishing film tour. I mean, it's amazing how good the videography is. And I talked to, Badfish TV, talked to some of the guys in Charleston who produced some films for the Fly Fishing Film Festival. They're going to be there, and you're going to be able to see some of the best fly fishing videos, frankly, that you could ever expect to see.
Yeah, well, we were talking about making a weekend out of it. One of the things that I thought in helping people make the decision of making a weekend out of it is to add some sort of after event things that are happening. So we added the International Fly Fishing Film Festival on Friday after the show closes. The show closes at 6, and at 6:30 is when the film festival begins. And it's a collection of films from all over the globe. We do some additional prizes and giveaways there, including I think we're doing 25 subscriptions to Fly Fusion magazine, and then some bigger prizes such as some trips and some fly rods that we give away.
Yep.
So So it's a good time. It's a social atmosphere, and the film quality has gone up every year. I mean, this year particularly is a really good selection of films. They are they're all very well done, very well produced, and I hear more people this year after the films kind of arguing amongst themselves about which one they felt was the best. Whereas in years past, sometimes there was a very obvious one or two best.
Right.
This year, it's across the board, is a lot of people say, oh, that one's my favorite, and it's all mixed.
All mixed. Well, great. Well, I appreciate you taking some time to be here today. Where can people go to find everything they need to know about who's going to be there, registration, how much it costs, all the other things going on? Where do they need to go to find that information?
Our website, flyfishingshow.com, and you can go to /Atlanta for the Atlanta information specifically, but there's plenty of links to get you to the Atlanta information. We have links on there for purchasing advance tickets, both for the film festival and the show itself, but tickets will be available at the desk when you check in at the ticket counter. There's schedules of the events listed, and we'll have programs and things like that available on site for people to check out what they want to do. So a lot of times getting a little bit of a pre-information idea of things that you might want to attend is a great idea by checking on the website, but it's there's a lot of improvisation going on at the shows, because you'll find yourself tied up in things that are pretty exciting and missing other things that you wanted to see. So that's where the weekend activity really comes in, and we do discount for multiple day tickets.
Yeah, I saw that. $15 for one day, $25 for two. Kids under 5 are free. Scouts in uniform under 16 are free. Active military with IDs $10. And did I read this right, that parking is free too?
Yes, there's quite a bit of good parking there at the Infinite Energy Center.
Very good. Well, Ben, I appreciate you taking time to be with me today. I'm looking forward to being there. I know I'll be there all day Friday. Don't know that I can squeeze in Saturday, but I will be there for a full day. And I hope I can run into you and put a face with a name.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you.
Very good. Well, that's the Fly Fishing Show in Atlanta, Georgia, Infinite Energy Center, February 3rd and 4th. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope if you have some time to waste, or I wouldn't say waste, next weekend, to go find out what fly fishing is all about, or if you're a fly fisherman, to really go get some good information, tips, and see a lot of vendors. Then you'll head to Atlanta next weekend. And a couple of weekends after Atlanta, I hope you'll head a different direction on the back roads. Don't take the interstate. To Charleston, South Carolina, where we've got another edition of SeaWee, and we've got Mary Roberts from SeaWee with us on the phone. Mary, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. Anytime, anytime. So SeaWee is coming up less than 3 weeks now, right?
That's right. It's actually 20 days.
20 days.
Just shy of 3 weeks. Yep, 20 days away.
Are y'all ready for it?
Yeah, as ready as we can be. I mean, at this point, you know, usually each year's event is about 2 years in the works.
Right.
So we're already working on 2018 right now. So we're ready. We're excited.
I'm excited too. I'm looking forward to coming back down again this year. I guess right off, talk to us about Ezra Tucker. He's the featured artist this year. And I noticed at least on the front page of SeaWee, it looks like he does some African game paintings.
He does. He's known in the industry as kind of an old world painter. His style is kind of old world. It's a lot of portraits of animals. And this year's featured piece is actually an elk.
Oh, wow.
And and it's beautiful. I mean, it's a very impressive in person, too. His work is beautiful. The fact that he's our featured artist is kind of a big deal in the wildlife art world. So we're excited to have him joining us.
Well, I mean, somebody from Colorado should be able to draw an elk, right?
That's right. Yep.
It's amazing y'all draw people from all over like this.
Yes. We actually, we have artists that are coming all the way from South Africa. So we have artists and exhibitors coming from all over the globe, and people coming from, you know, Canada, from up north, from out west. It's over the years we've started to attract people from all over the place.
Well, okay. For those of you who've never heard about CWE, Mary, let's start at the beginning, talk about some of the things they're going to see, some of the places they're going to be able to go to see these things, and how much it is. So let's start off with some of the big things that always come to CWE.
So the big things that are always at CWE are the live animal shows that we have. Bush Wildlife Sanctuary, that they come all the way from Florida. They're kind of the behind the scenes animal guys. You know, like old back in the day with David Letterman, they would provide the animals actually for Jack Hanna and Jeff Corwin and other, you know, big wildlife experts, as we call them. But they come with animals and owls and, you know, foxes and snakes and you name it, they have it. And they're actually performing at the Gill Yard, which is our big auditorium downtown Charleston, three times over the weekend. And then another big animal show is Jeff Corwin. And okay. He right now has a show on ABC in the mornings called Ocean Mysteries.
Okay.
But he's not bringing any aquatic life with him, but he's going to be talking about animals and kind of telling stories, you know, that of all the different adventures he's come across.
Okay.
And that's at the Gill Yard, too.
All right.
And then, of course, there's the Birds of Prey flight demonstrations that are at Marion Square that are a crowd favorite. And you know, at Marion Square, there's no ticket.
Right.
You don't have to pay. And it's awesome. I mean, it's awesome for 3-year-olds. It's awesome for 30-year-olds. It's so much fun.
It's awesome for 49-year-olds, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's for all ages. It's so cool.
Yes.
And at Marion Square, we also are going to have, you know, conservation groups,
right,
and nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And then we actually have the Orion Society coming all the way from Georgia.
Right.
And they present about reptiles.
Yeah, and they bring that big indigo snake with them that's, yes, about 7 feet long. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Which it's so cool. It's so cool. It's also really frightening.
It is.
It is. And then also at Brittlebank Park,
yes,
which is another venue, we have the very popular attraction called Dock Dogs, where there's two tanks and dogs, you know, jump and chase after decoys that their owners throw and are judged on how far they can jump, how fast they can jump, and how high they can jump.
Right.
And that's a whole scene there. It's a lot of fun.
It
and then
is.
Also at Brittlebank Park, yes, there's something called the Sporting Village, which has, you know, outdoor outfitters and guides. And there's also, I heard you mention fly fishing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's,
yeah,
some fly fishing experts that are throughout the weekend kind of giving tutorials on how best to, you know, cast your net and, you know, kind of giving the 101 on how to do that.
I got it.
And then we have chef demos. And of course,
yes,
you know, the main heart of Southeastern Wildlife Expo is the art, the wildlife art that's all at Charleston Place. There's,
right,
flat art and sculpture, and there's art demonstrations and little events throughout the weekend, special exhibits, and lots to do there.
Lots to do.
And then, of course, yes. And then, of course, sorry, I've been talking for so long.
No, no.
We just have a lot. We have a lot to offer this year.
Take your time.
But also at the Marriott Hotel,
okay,
we have the decoys and decoy auction and find sporting arms.
Nice.
So
you've talked about, okay, the Gilliard Center, Marion Square, and you just said the hotel, and it just whew, right over my head.
Marriott Hotel.
They're all kind of on the peninsula down there in the heart of Charleston.
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's also the Charleston Place Hotel
that's
right there as
and
well.
Then, yes. And then you've got Brittlebank Park, which is out on the banks of the Cooper River.
That's right.
And let me tell you what, folks, a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to go deal with Charleston Peninsula traffic on a Saturday and Sunday with, I don't know, how many thousands of people will be there this weekend or that weekend?
Well, we say 40,000.
Okay. So if you're sitting at home and you say, I don't want to go deal with 40,000 people downtown Charleston and all the traffic and all that, CWE does an excellent job of getting you around, especially if you want to park downtown in one of the parking garages and walk downtown. If you want to go out to Brittle Bank, they have a bus system up there. And let me tell you what, it's, yeah, you say, I don't want to sit on a bus. Well, it's not sitting on a bus for very long because they get you there timely. You've got a bunch of buses running. So let's just take that argument out of the way. You've got no excuse not to go because of traffic.
Well, thanks. Yes, that's true. And, you know, your ticket gets you on that bus. It's not an extra fee.
That's right.
Which is a great part. And, you know, with that many people as well, we try to encourage people to walk from venue to venue.
Sure.
Really, each venue is walkable except for Brittle Bank Park. Right. I would suggest. Yeah. But, you know, there's parking in the area. So
there is.
No excuses.
There's no excuses. Yes. One of the venues that has become one of my favorite over the last couple of years has been the South Carolina Grown Tent. Please tell me it's going to be there again this year.
Of course, yes. Okay. We have a great relationship and partnership with the South Carolina Department of Agriculture, which, you know, puts up this big tent and brings chefs from all over the Long Country to fix in front of a crowd their favorite recipe using, you know, certified South Carolina fresh products. And so you can watch them cook it. You can taste it afterwards. It's a really intimate kind of environment. It's hands on. It's really neat.
It is. And then another nice thing about CWE in Charleston is the dogs. Everywhere you turn, there's going to be puppy dogs, and there's going to be big dogs, and there's going to be different looking dogs. And that's one of the things for kids as well as adults. It's just an endless array of man's best friend going by.
It is. We always say that everyone and their dog comes to CWE because it's really true. And, you know, we have two outdoor venues, and, of course, your dog is allowed there. So we're a very dog-friendly event.
Just don't try to get into the Gilliard Auditorium with your dog.
Right. Yes. Nope. Yeah, dogs aren't allowed on the buses or in the inside or indoor venues. But, yes, it's a great place to bring your dog.
It's a great place to bring your dog.
It is. And it's a great place to bring your kid, too, because kids 10 and under are free. And, you know, there's kids' games, there's petting zoos, there's, you know, live performances. There's so much to do.
Yeah, vendors love kids. You know?
Oh, yeah.
The kids are the next generation of people that are going to carry on what all these vendors and all these people displaying and all are going to be depending on. So kids really make out like bandits at these events. They really do.
They do. They really do. You are right about that.
What are some of the we hit on all the big stuff and all. What's something that in your book is a don't miss?
Well, this year at the Charleston Place Hotel, which is what we consider kind of our headquarters, and it's where all the art lives, is a special exhibit called The Library.
Okay.
And it's in a room in Charleston Place, and it has the sketches of where an artist will paint something, and then he does like a study first or a sketch.
Okay.
And so those sketches will actually be in this room, and then the original finished product will be out in the gallery where all the rest of the art is. So it's kind of a way to see how the process the artists go through, but it's you know, it's essentially a finished piece of work. It's just not hanging in the main room.
Sure.
So it's a really cool way to kind of say, oh, you know, I was kind of part of the process, or it's really neat. It's going to be really neat. And there's also going to be books for sale that the different artists have written, like coffee table books.
And this is great art. This is not going into, and forgive me, I'm not much of an art connoisseur, I guess you'd say. But this is art that you walk up to, and it's outdoors. It's, you can look for little things in it that, you know, as a quail hunter, you look for something in a painting of a quail. If you know, are African game, you know, and it's there because it's painted by people who really know what they're doing. That's the nice thing about the art. It's an art that anybody can enjoy.
Yes, absolutely. And we have an artist director who works all year to scout out and find artists, whether they're up and coming or more established. that, you know, and some artists are using charcoal paint where it's just black and white, and some are just using pencil, and, you know, some are oil. So it's a big variety, and these aren't, you know, these are the kind of people or kind of artists that you don't really see this caliber of art all in one place at one time.
That's right. And that's the beauty of Siwi.
Yes.
All in one place right here in South Carolina. It has been for how many years now? Is this 35 or 36?
Yeah, this is our 35th.
35th
so it's a
year.
Big anniversary. Yes.
That's pretty cool. 1982.
Yes, wow. It was founded in 82, but then our very first show was 83. Yep.
Oh. Well, very nice. Yep. Well, you said something earlier about you might have a few tickets for me to give away, and you might have a discount code for listeners.
I do. I have 4 3-day passes to give away.
Okay.
Which is a $200 value.
Oh, wow.
And I know. And then also a promo code for 20% off day tickets. But hurry, because our day tickets are only on sale through February 1st.
Okay. What's the promo code, if you don't mind?
That would help. The promo code is Woods and Water.
Woods and Water. Is that spelled out?
Yes.
A-N-D?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, I appreciate it. Anything you want to say to anybody listening as a kind of like putting the cattle prod to them to get them down to Charleston?
Well, you know, Charleston Keys winning these awards for being the best place to visit. And then Siwi is the best event that, you know, that Charleston has, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinions. So
sure.
If you're thinking about coming to Charleston, this is the weekend to do it.
This is the weekend. Besides the fact that it's probably a little bit warmer down there.
Yes.
I have my daughter's in college down there, and so I get updates on the weather, and she said the other day it was like 70 degrees, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
That'd be so nice.
It really is. I know it's cold for us right now, and it's in the mid-60s, so.
My heart bleeds for
it's
you.
It's awesome weather. Yeah.
Well, Mary, as always, thank you for coming on. You heard the discount code, Woods and Water, 20% off through February the 1st is what you said, right?
That's right, through the first.
So you got like 4 days to do it, people. And I will make good use of these tickets. I'll give those away somehow or another. But thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
In just a few weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Have a good day.
Bye. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, if you don't have enough on your calendar to do, add that in. And we'll be back on the other side of the break with a few more minutes of Woods and Water, South Carolina. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's always good to talk to Mary about Siwi, and it's always good to go to Siwi. And if you want to go to Siwi, I'm going to give away a pair of 3-day passes to Siwi right now. 877-235-9405. 877-235-9405. If you want to go to Siwi, I've got a pair of 3-day passes to give away the first caller. So Siwi is up for grabs. Hope you'll take advantage of it. I do need to get to a short calendar of events. And I always look up here to see who's calling in because I forget there's a delay on there. I'll come back to it. If nobody's listening, I'll come back to it a little bit later on. The calendar events is brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pond Events and Landing Center down at Lake Hartwell. And the calendar this week, if you want to be involved with the volunteer work days on the Palmetto Trail, then February the 4th, 2017, PCF and Palmetto Pride will be hosting the 10th annual Francis Marion National Forest Cleanup. And you can find more information there at palmettoconservation.org. Cat Crawford's in charge of that. If you want to go to a National Wild Turkey Federation chapter banquet and you're around the Clemson University area, then the Clemson University chapter is having their banquet on February the 9th at 6:00. It's at Occasions at Wedgefield, which is in Central South Carolina. You can find out more information going to the National Wild Turkey Federation, looking at events in your area. And if you can't make the Clemson one, there are pages and pages of other chapters having banquets. You know, we talk about a lot about conservation habitat here. The next one is for anyone who is so minded to get out and help give a helping hand to the environment. The Ashley River cleanup is going to happen February the 11th, starting at 9:30. This is Somerville Saltwater Anglers. It's kind of who puts this together. You're going to leave out of the Jessen boat landing in Charleston, and it's like it says, clean up the Ashley River. It's amazing how much trash, either with high tide, low tide, king tides, rains, floods, hurricanes, how much trash accumulates in the salt marshes. And this is an opportunity to go help clean up. And they pick up an incredible amount of trash every year when they do this. So if you need more information on this, David Flatt is the committee chairman. You can call him at 843-324-4272, or you can hit the Ashley River Cleanup website. South Carolina Waterfowl Association. Their sportsman's ball is Friday, February the 17th at 6 o'clock. It's, best Sunday attire. Uh-oh, and I bet this is, I'm going to have to skip this. Anyway, I don't have enough information. I just printed off the summary of it all. So I can't tell you where it's going to be, but I'm assuming it's Sumter. Sumter's really the Sumter Columbia. Anyway, excuse me about this. But anyway, Sunday Best, annual dinner featuring wild game, chapter awards, sportsman vendors, and a raffle, live auction, hunts. Everybody's guaranteed to find something to take home with them. Get your tables and tickets soon. Then on Saturday, they've got the Duck Shuck. It's the second annual oyster roast. And I'll have tables full of fresh oysters outside. Inside will be busy with a live band. Snacks, raffles, and a large live and silent auction. So you can find more information of this at the SCWA website. And finally, and this is really cool. I would love to do this one, but it's a wilderness skills weekend. It's put on by Coastal Expeditions out of Charleston, February the 18th to the 20th in the Francis Marion National Park, National Forest. Fire making, primitive shelter, kayaking, useful plant ID, traps, natural navigation, and more. This is kind of comes out of the box with learn outdoor skills from experienced guides on a weekend camping expedition. We have so much more we want to share with you. Our guides excitedly talk about things like making fire using bow saws, finding new creeks that only a kayak can navigate, and unusual birds that are making their way into low country habitats. Sometimes it takes more than an afternoon adventure to do this, which is why they're doing this multi-day trip in the Francis Marion. You can find more information about this at coastalexpeditions.com. And that's just a few things to get you started. It's not it's no way. We could spend an hour on outdoor things going on here in the upstate or across South Carolina. So these are just a few, and there'll be more. Just hang in there with me. I'd love to get into some of these articles I've got printed off here. Just don't have enough time to do them justice. So my buddy Jim Mize, who was on here earlier, our late last year before Christmas, writes humor books. He also writes for Rethink Rural, which is an online blog. And he's written an article about Roper Mountain Science Center. A heavy dose of nature inspires kids. And he went to Roper Mountain Science Center. Of course, it's been here since 85. If you've never been to Greenville, if you come in 385, it's up on the hill on the right-hand side. It's lit up at Christmas time, and all through the year, it's open for camps and educational things and all. And he writes that visitors of Roper Mountain can experience a range of exhibits, including marine labs with fish and sea creatures, discovery rooms with reptiles, amphibians, and birds, and living history farms. They can step back into the past and see crafts of old or dip a finger in a coastal saltwater habitat and let creatures crawl and swim around in a petting pool. Or they can visit an observatory and view the stars through a historic telescope. And he talks about going out here and how kids, and I guess he was there with some kids, it might even be his grandkids, and talking about how kids are just, they're curious to begin with, and they're not afraid to touch things. They're enthusiastic about being outside. And You know, it says, with the energy only little legs have, these children went on to pet fish in a small pond. They mess with butterflies. You know, you can taste blackberries grown on agricultural lands at Clemson University, and they ate different kinds of honey made from a variety of blossoms, while a portable hive gave them a view of the making of it. So, like I said, you know, with attention spans at 8 seconds, with so much technology bombarding, and it's not just the kids, it's us adults too. You know, we tend to lose sight of how much time we really spend engrossed in technology and how little time we spend in the outdoors. And I would encourage you to find time, find something to enjoy in the outdoors, and just make 2017 the year to get outside. It will not be wasted time. I can promise you that. Well, you know, last week I talked just a second. I said, oh, you know, I could go with these segments and I could make this. No, I like to keep this show fresh, and you never know what you're going to get. And next week, you never know what you're going to get. But there's some things that are ticking in the background that will, again, kind of cool. I'm kind of excited about some of this stuff that's happening. So, you know, just be on the lookout. You never know where you're going to find me. I'll tease you with that one. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, next weekend, fly fishing show in Atlanta. 2 weeks after that, Southeastern Wildlife Expo in Charleston, and plenty of stuff in between that doesn't require much travel. So make time to get out there. Take those back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. I'll be back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.